Give God praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's always an honor to share a message from my heart. And thank you, honey. Where are you? I see you with the lights. What an honor to share. Thank you, babe, for trusting me with this responsibility. Can we give it up for our leader, our man of God, Pastor Josiah Silva? I love you so much. I honor you, honey. You're an incredible, incredible, not just pastor, but a man. You're an incredible man. And the touch of God is over your life. And I'm not just saying that. I know that. I live with you. I'm encouraged by you. I'm disciple. Did you know I'm his number one disciple? Did you know that? You're amazing. And I'm so honored that I get to do life with you and have your babies. But it's always a stretching for me. I'm going to be totally honest. I have just a simple word this morning that I want to impart into you today, but I know that God's going to bless you by it. And I know that God wants increase for you, which is why I'm eager to share it today. I want to read to you this verse. Go with me to the Bible, to your Bibles, to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to read verses 8 through 17. And once you're there in your Bibles, if you can remain standing with me for the honor of reading the Word of God. 2 Kings 4, 8 through 17. It says, one day, Elijah went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there. Everybody say, wealthy woman. Which means she was well taken care of. And she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. She said to her husband, I am sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by. One day, Elijah returned to Shunem and went up to this upper room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, tell the woman from Shunem, I want to speak to her. When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, tell her, we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Oh, come on. Did you hear what I just said? What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army? No, she replied, my family takes good care of me. Later, Elijah asked Gehazi, what can we do for her? You see, she took such good care of the prophet, it bothered him that he couldn't do something for her. Gehazi replied, she doesn't have a son. And her husband is an old man. That's a double whammy right there. Call her back again, Elijah told him. And when the woman returned, Elijah said to her as she stood in the doorway, are you ready for this next verse? Next year, at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she cried, oh man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elijah had said. Come on, give God praise for that. Give God praise for that. The title of my message is Bring the Increase Home. Because what God wants to do is not for you just here, and it's not just out there, but it's in your home. Because Jesus loves your home. He wants to see it blessed and prosperous. We're called Freedom House because we believe God wants to bring freedom to every home. Do you want freedom in your home? Do you want blessing in your home? Not just here, not just there, in your home. I want to share with you about bringing His supernatural increase into your home. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for every person in attendance today. I thank you, Lord, that they're here leaning in and ready to adhere to your word. I pray the hearts be open, ears be open, eyes be open, hands be lifted, ready to give and receive in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. 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 You may take your seats. Well, have you ever gotten your hopes up for something that never came? Or ever expected something that just never arrived? Yes? Anybody feel me? Well, I know this might sound funny, but you know, this is what I like to do. I like to order online. How many like to shop online once in a while? Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So I ordered a top online. And I said, okay, well, it says it ships between 3 to 5 days, so I'm just going to buy it, and then, you know, it's going to come, and I should get it because I want to wear it at this event. And, you know, us girls, we plan our events. Well, you guys too, right? You plan your outfits, what you're going to wear, and you're like, okay, well, that top online is going to look good with that skirt in my closet, and da da da. So anyway, you know, I ordered it, and they gave me right away a FedEx tracking number. How many love those FedEx tracking numbers? Yes, their life, they're just like everything. Like, yes, I get to see Amazon Prime. Yes, yes, yes. Every mother of little ones needs Amazon Prime. But anyway, I was given a tracking number, and I went to look for it on the FedEx website and all that, and for some reason, no tracking was happening. And I'm like, where is my package? Where is my top? I gotta wear it next weekend. Where is it? Where is it? So anyway, I looked on their website that I ordered it from, and this one little sentence kept popping up saying, has not shipped yet. Has not shipped yet. Has not shipped yet. And every day, I mean, a week went by, and then now I'm like, okay, if I don't get it now, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm like freaking out. I need to reorganize this whole thing. You know what I mean? So what did I do? You know, I go and I start emailing, and I start calling, and I start complaining, and I start putting in my petition and saying, hey, you said, da, da, da. So it took like 3 or 4 different representatives there to research what was going on, because it was not getting to me. And I'm like, you know, I'm taking off. I, what's going on? They're like, oh, we're so sorry. We're so sorry, Mrs. Silva. We found out that the top that you ordered can't ship in 3 to 5 days because it's on back order. And we can ship it to you in about 2 months. So frustrating. So frustrating. Like, I can't even begin to say, I mean, thank God it was over the phone, because if they saw my face, that wouldn't be nice. So what did I do? I said, forget it then. I don't want it anymore. I don't want it anymore. It doesn't fit into my wardrobe anymore. It's not gonna work. And you know, and in my frustration, I vowed, I will never order from them again. Again, ever. I don't care how prominent they are. I don't care how cute their stuff is. I don't care how they lure me in with their emails every week. But I am not going to order from them ever again, because they promise something that they can't deliver. Right? It never got to my home. And I just got to thinking, are there certain things we desire that never make it to our homes? Are there things we don't want to ask God for anymore because we're afraid He won't deliver on the time frame that we want Him to? We lost hope that it will happen for us. And we can lose hope because we feel God didn't deliver at the time or the way we thought we needed Him to. So as a coping mechanism, we build this mindset that we're fine with our condition. It's okay, God. You don't have to after all. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm done crying about it. I'm done knocking on the door about it. I'm done. I'm done. Because you don't want to put yourself in a position where you'll be let down again. You'll say to yourself, the thing I wanted seemed too good to be true anyway. because that top really was on sale and I was getting it for a very cheap price and it was just too good to be true anyway. So it was easy to just let go. I don't want to get my hopes up, you say to yourself. I don't want to get my hopes up like that ever again. And you start making these internal vows to yourself. You start making these promises to yourself. And what you're really doing, you think that you're protecting yourself, but what you're really, really doing is you're building walls between you and heaven's door. And just like this Shunammite woman, she was in need of something that she had told herself not to need anymore. She was telling herself, you don't need it anymore. Stop wanting it. Stop asking for it. You don't need it anymore. You can live without it. She desired a baby, and my God, can I relate to this Shunammite woman? Because there was a season in my life, there was nothing I wanted more than a baby. And she spent years telling herself to just let it go, let it go. It's never going to happen for me. She became gun shy in her prayers. Where she got in her prayers and she said, there's one more thing to pray for, but I'm just not going to pray for it anymore. And got up from her knees. She stopped asking about it. She stopped praying about it. She stopped trying to rally people to be in agreement with her about it. She accepted that she was barren. And how many of us can just accept that our home is sick in an area? You see, back then they didn't have the technology we have today that gives us a diagnosis. I mean, thankful to doctors, I got diagnosis. I found out I had endometriosis. I found out I had polycystic ovarian syndrome. I found out I had low egg quality. I found out all these things because of all the technology. But back then, they didn't have all that. They didn't have fetal Dopplers. They didn't have ultrasounds. They didn't have, you know, test tubes and all that. The way a woman would find out that she was barren is by experiencing disappointment after disappointment. Month after month, year after year, and after a series of disappointments, you are labeled barren. And disappointment became something she was well acquainted with. And when you've accepted disappointment as a way of life, you lose hope. And when you lose hope, you stop praying about it. But what stood out to me about this woman, that even in spite of her barrenness and pain, she remained faithful to God. Her heart was to serve the kingdom by serving the prophet Elisha. She invited him home to eat, and she petitioned to her husband and said, let's build a place for him to stay when he comes by, because he's such a blessing to everyone else. I see what he does for everyone else. I see how he speaks a word over everyone else. But never did she expect it for her own home. She had such a gift of hospitality and loved serving so much that with her husband's approval, she made that home. And I started to think about her house and this room that she had built, the room that she had made for the prophet Elijah. And I looked at her home and I walked through her home as she was envisioning this. And I thought, maybe she was so apt to build this room because that was supposed to be the nursery. Maybe she said, when the baby comes, I'm going to build this room. But the baby never came. The baby never came. But she did something. There's a bit of a twist in it. She did something in faith. She said, I'm going to build the prophet's room. And I'm not going to just leave it empty. I'm not just going to leave it as an empty thing. I'm going to fill it with someone who's furthering the kingdom of God. I'm going to fill it with the presence of God. I'm going to get Jesus in my home. I'm going to get him in that place. And I remember walking by my home and looking at the rooms, the empty rooms, and feeling disappointment after disappointment and saying, I'm not going to have a baby. What could this room be? We made it an office where my husband studied and knocked on heaven's door right there. You start envisioning different things. I wonder in your home if there's some empty places and dreams that you have and you're filling it with things that shouldn't be in there. You're filling it with fear. You're filling it with disappointment. You're filling it with grief. You're filling it with pain. You're filling it with anxiety, worry, doubt, resentment, bitterness, jealousy. But this woman filled it with the prophet. The prophet. And when she asked her husband if they can make it a room for Elijah, she was simultaneously telling her husband, I am letting that hope go. I'm letting that hope go. You see, she had this empty space in her home and an empty space in her womb. And she filled the space in her home to be used by the man of God, but her womb was still empty. You see, she had an area in her life that needed a supernatural touch of God. Anyone here need a supernatural touch from God? Where you can say, I have a spouse, but I don't have a marriage. I have relatives, but I don't have family. I have availability, but nobody good wants me. I have a womb, but I can't have a baby. God wants to add his super to your natural. I say, God wants to fill his super with your natural. With your natural. This woman had a home. She had a heart of hospitality. She had a heart for the Lord. She had an empty space. And she said, I'm going to fill it with God's presence. I want to share with you a couple of points on how to bring increase in your home. Point number one, you ready? It's pretty deep. You ready? Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 16, it says, Elijah said to her, next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. And her response exposes the grief inside of her because she didn't want to tell the servant what she wanted. She didn't want to say, she didn't want to utter what it was that she wanted because she was in grief. Sometimes we're in such grief over an issue. We're in such grief over our marriage. We're in such disappointment over our life that when somebody says, what can I pray for you about? You can't even utter it. To where the servant had to make an observation and say, she doesn't have a son. She's in need. She couldn't even express it with her words. Someone else had to say it on her behalf. And don't be afraid sometimes when people come to you, want to pray with you, and say things in the faith on your behalf. Say it in faith on your behalf. Prophetically speak it into your life. Yes, I need that breakthrough. Yes, I need that baby. Yes, I need that marriage. Yes, I need that supernatural increase in my home. Yes, I'm barren in that place. Yes, I'm hurting right now. Yes, I need my mind together. Yes, I'm hurting at night. Yes, I need something, and you can see it. But her response was in such grief. She said, no, my Lord, no, don't say that. She cried, oh, man of God, man of God. What she was saying is, I respect you. Don't get my hopes up. And then it doesn't come because it's not going to come. And then I'm going to see you come and I'm going to think you're messed up. I'm not going to like you anymore. I'm going to lose my faith in you. And how many of us feel like that in the church sometimes? Don't get my hopes up, Pastor. Don't speak life over me. Don't tell me I can get healed. Don't tell me. Because when I go home, I'm going home to the same room, the same situation. Don't. I respect you. I love you. Say it over everyone else. I'll even sow into it for you to bless everybody else, but don't say it to me. No, my Lord, she cried. Oh, man of God. Don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. You see, the prophet was trying to bring increase to her home. But because she was so used to disappointment, she struggled to receive it. And last night, the prophet was here. Come on, how many love last night? Pastor Benny not only preached the house down, but ministered in such a beautiful unity. I love the prophetic. I love the prophetic. I love the prophetic because the prophetic word just tramples over every lie of the enemy. I said the prophetic tramples over every lie of the enemy. I love the prophetic. It says, no, what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn around for good. No, what the enemy told you is meant for your future, God's going to turn it around and make it for the kingdom. I mean, the prophetic opens up our future for us to walk right in. I love the prophetic. I love the prophetic. And last night, the prophet was trying to speak to us last night and bring increase in our homes. And just like the Shunammite woman, the prophet told her, by this time next year, you will have a son. And maybe you're here and perhaps you have given up on praying and believing for things in your home and in your life. You stop praying for your future husband or your future wife. You're saying, too much time has passed. I'm getting older now. I'm just gonna table that. Or stop believing that your marriage could get healed of past hurt. Oh no, we can't get past that hurt. He said that to me, or she did that to me, or there was infidelity, and there's just no going past that. We're just enduring one another for the rest of this course. You say it's just never going to change, or that ailment and that sickness will ever go away. You think it's just, I just learned to cope with it. You see, for me, like this woman, I battled barrenness as well. And just like her, a prophet came to me. I have the same story. A prophet came to me, and as he was praying for my husband and I, he looked at me and he said, Marie, this was before I had Judah, before I had any kids, I was in my middle of my barrenness, and he said, Marie, in 9 months, you're going to have a baby. And my first response was just like this woman. I said, no, not you. Not you. Don't say that to me, please. I didn't say that with my words, but I said that in my heart. And I said, God, please don't let him say that. Why did he just say that? Because when it doesn't happen, I'm going to have to deliver the bad news next time I see him. And that was my first response. Now, I love the Lord. I love him now, and I loved him then, and I know God is fully capable of doing anything. My faith was firm. It was my hope that needed resurrecting. It was my hope that needed resurrecting. I love God. I had faith in God, but it was my hope that needed resurrecting. And 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, and now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. See, I had faith and I had love, but I didn't have hope. Now, faith and hope, though they sound the same, are two different things. Faith says, I know God can. I know he can. But hope says, I know he will. I know he will. I know he will. And you need faith, you need hope, and you need the love of God to embrace both those things. I had faith, but I didn't have hope. I didn't have hope. And you're here and you're saying, I have faith. Yes, amen. I have love. I know God loves me. I love God. But you've lost hope. You've lost hope for your home. And I'm here to speak life into you today and say there's hope rising in this place right now. And I speak life into the barrenest places in your home. I speak life into the barrenest, the barren place in your marriage, the barren place in your body. Some of you here are sick. And I speak to your body right now. If you're sick, raise your hand. I speak to your body right now and I say, be healed in Jesus' name. And believe and let your hope rise that you're going to be healed in Jesus' name. Come on, raise your hand if you need prayer for your marriage. Oh, I speak to that barren marriage and I say life and love will arise in there again. Come on, some of you believing that your family's going to be healed, and I speak life to your family. I speak life to your grandchildren. I speak life to your mom and dad. I speak life in Jesus' name because you have faith, you have love, but we are going to say that we have hope because we serve a God that not only can, but I serve a God that wants to. I serve a God that will. I serve a God that is capable, able, and wants to. And I will see the goodness of God here on earth. I will remain confident. I will remain steadfast. I will remain confident in this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That means that we're going to see it here on earth. We're not going to table it and say, well, I'll be healed in heaven. Well, I'll have this all perfect in heaven. We will see it in the land of the living. We will see it right now, right here in Jesus' name. Let your hope rise. Job 6:8, it says, oh, that I might have my request. Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant what I hope for. Hope is expectation. Will you raise? Will you have the audacity to raise your hope again?
Come on, go ahead.
Can I challenge you, Freedom House? Can I challenge you, leader? Can I challenge your dry bones today? And say, will these dry bones live again? May I challenge you with that question today? Will they? Will they? Will they? Will they? Will they? Will they? Oh, I'm speaking to you right now. Will they? If you're next to your spouse, grab your spouse's hand. Will they? Will those dry bones rise again? Will they? Will they? Will they? Will they? Yes, they will. Yes, they will. You're here at this conference, and like we said before, it's not an event. This is not an event. This is a life-changing encounter. And you've come with expectation. And if you're here right now and you're saying, Pastor Marie, I'm barren in a place in my life. I'm barren. You don't have to be a woman to be barren. I'm talking to you men too. You're barren, you're fatherless. You're hurting. You're barren. You lack direction. You lack in so many areas that you feel so insecure. Right now, I just see God working in the men right now, just raising you up and saying, you have to believe, man of God, because you have to lead. You have to believe because you have to lead. Let's all stand to our feet because I just feel a holy moment right now. Jesus, Jesus. Well, right now, if you're barren in an area, if there's something inside your home that you're not happy with, but you've let it go, you've let it go, you've lost hope, I want you to come. I want you to come to the altar right now. Come on, come on, come on. Come. Hurry, hurry. Come on, come on. Come on, come. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Say, yes, there's an area that I need a supernatural touch of God. And it's going to take a miracle of God. Come on, when you come to the altars, it's just you and the Lord. Lift your hands before the Lord and confess to the Lord. Say, yes, God, I'm barren in this area. I'm barren. And I need your supernatural touch. Boom, right now. Come on, I feel it. I see it right now. Increase. Increase in your marriage. Right now, Lucy, lift your hands before the Lord. In Jesus' name, I speak to that barren place in your past and in your childhood where you were motherless, you were loveless, nobody took care of you. But God is saying, I'm taking care of you now, Lucy. You are no longer going to be barren. You're no longer going to be looking and wandering. God is for you. He loves you. He is fathering you and mothering you right now in Jesus' name. I pray for this couple right here. I see dry bones. I see dry bones. I see dry bones, but guess what? They're gonna live again. They're gonna live again. You've fallen out of love, and God's gonna reignite that love, that passion. You're gonna lead. You're gonna gain insight from the Holy Spirit. You're gonna be in, I see you in prayer over your family, your daughter. I see it. I see you in prayer, and you're hearing from heaven. Your man can hear from heaven. Your man can hear from heaven, and you will. And you will lead from that front. You will lead from that front. No more wallowing in your past. No more discounting yourself. No more saying, I can't because of this and that. No more. Your marriage will thrive and be alive in Jesus' name. Something's changing in the spirit. Something's breaking, I can feel it. Heaven. Yep, yep. Something's changing. Something's changing in the spirit. Something's breaking, I can feel it. Heaven. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Almost there. Almost there. Something's changing in the spirit. Something's breaking, I can feel it. Heaven, come down. Heaven. Oh, come on, let hope rise. Yeah. Something's changing in the spirit. Something's breaking, I can feel it. Heaven, come down. Something's changing in the spirit. Something's breaking, I can feel it. Heaven, come down.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Come on, keep going, run there. Something's changing.
Something's changing in the spirit.
Yes.
Something's breaking.
Oh, it's breaking right now. It's breaking right now. Yes. Something's changing.
Something's changing in the spirit.
Yes.
Something's breaking, I can feel it. Heaven, come down. Heaven, come down. Something's changing in the spirit. Something's breaking, I can feel it. Heaven, come down. Heaven, come down.
Now I could skip into my second point real quick. It's my only last point. But once you receive that hope, you gotta realize that it's a daily process. Hope is a daily process. Hope is a daily mindset. Because when I became pregnant with my son, it was a daily process to keep my hopes up that this baby was gonna make it. I worried so much. I bought a fetal Doppler so I could hear the heartbeat on my own. Thanks to Amazon. Now they deliver. Amazon Prime's better. But I got a fetal Doppler. How many pregnancy tests did I buy, babe? 100. I was taking pregnancy tests every day to make sure that that line was getting darker and darker. I became my own scientist. My bathroom was my lab. I'm not lying. I still have a stack of pregnancy tests that I took for Zara. Hope has to be a daily process. Hope has to be something that you decide every single day that this baby's gonna come. This baby's gonna come. This baby is here. This area of barrenness, my marriage is getting better. My marriage is gonna work. I will get married. I will find a man of God. I will find a woman of God. I will be healed. I will have increase in my home every single day, every single minute, every time the enemy comes and wants to diminish your hope. You gotta say, my hope is in today. My hope is in tomorrow. My hope is in the next day and the next day and the next day. And guess what? Guess what? guess what? 9 months later, I had a baby. I had a baby. And I called the prophet and I said, "You spoke life into me. I didn't believe it for myself. I didn't even want to pray about it anymore. And I was scared when you told me, but guess what? I'm having a baby." And I had never been pregnant before. I mean, it was 5 years of just silence, no pregnancies. I remember even asking God that I could have a miscarriage just so I can see that I can hold a baby for at least a short period of time. That's how desperate I was, that I could at least have a baby in heaven for my husband. At least we can say that we had something together. Oh, but my Judah came and my breakthrough was there. And God's word stood true, and God used a prophet, and I prophesy to you today, I prophesy to you today that the area of barrenness is no more, that the area of barrenness is no more, that the area of barrenness is no more. Come on, heaven, come down. Heaven, come down. Come on, worship Him. Worship Him. Heaven, something's changing.
Something's changing in the spirit. Something's breaking, I can feel it. Heaven, come down.
Thank you, Lord. I have a word of scripture for you. Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope. Just receive that right now. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. It needs to anchor you. Your hope needs to anchor you. Saying, "God will, God will." Everybody say, "God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory." We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. You can't just have hope, it has to be firm and secure. Psalm 147, 11 says, "The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love." Put your hope in His love. Let's take a baby step today. Maybe you can't put hope in that situation. Maybe you're just scared. You're standing outside the doorway. She stood outside the doorway as Elijah spoke that over her. She couldn't even step into the room. Maybe you can't step into the room when the prophet speaks that over your life. You're standing at the doorway. Will say, "Lord, I'm going to put my hope in Your unfailing love." Proverbs 13:12, "Delayed hope makes one sick at heart, but a fulfilled longing is a tree of life." Come on, we want trees of life. And Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Oh, come on, some of you you have a business in your heart. You, there's a business, you're a business owner, you're an entrepreneur, something's in your heart, and you're scared to step. Come on, do it, do it. So that's speaking to someone right now. Someone's marriage right now being healed. I'm just gonna do this and then we'll close. Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, lift your hands, because we're giving God our hope. Now we're gonna receive. I give you my hope, Lord. I receive the word of the prophet. Increase in my home. Increase in my home. Increase in my home.